So it's a well-known fact in my family that my mother does not like sharing recipes with other people for things that she knows she makes really well. Her specialty items. If you were to ask her, hey, tell me how you make that dish. It's amazing. She would give you only very vague information at best. Most of the time she says something like, oh, it's easy, you can figure it out. She doesn't like to share her secrets with people outside the family. And even for my sisters and I have to catch her in a really good, really charitable mood to get any helpful information from her. So when Sheldon shared around my parents' dinner table one day that he had been experimenting with making pho, which is a traditional Vietnamese soup, I didn't really expect her to say anything or to have any kind of reaction. But my mother's curiosity was piqued, and she leaned in closer and she said, tell me how you make it. What did you learn? How did you learn how to do this? And he said, well, I mean, I talked with Julie and I looked at recipes online and this is kind of how I do it. And he explained his process. And she said, that's pretty good, but I will tell you the right way to make it. And she actually went on to give him 4 or 5 secrets to what makes her soup so amazing. And so my sisters and I are sitting around the table watching her divulge all these secrets to Sheldon, and our jaws just dropped open. We were like, what is happening? My mom was sharing willingly, freely, of her own volition, the family secrets to this family dish. And as we watched, what it really communicated to us was, Sheldon is in. He is in. He's really part of the family now. I mean, even like inner than I am in some ways. The relationship between Sheldon and my mother had shifted somehow. It had reached a new level. My mother had accepted Sheldon into a new stage of family and closeness. And, you know, you and I learn to read these shifts in relationships. We notice the moment where that shift happens. When we realize we're no longer a stranger to someone, but a friend. We're no longer a mere acquaintance, but we're accepted as family. Maybe for you it's happened when someone you've looked up to for years, a teacher, a professor, a mentor, someone you've called Mrs. or Mr. or Doctor, says, you know what? I think it's time you start calling me by my first name. Or when you're invited over to someone's house and you realize, this time they didn't really make a fuss over me. They didn't clean up and make a fancy thing. They're just inviting me into the normal environment of their family life because they're treating me like I'm part of the family. Well, this passage this morning from John 20 gives us a moment like that. It's a moment where it becomes clear something has happened. Something has happened, something extraordinary, and not just to Jesus, although that is true, but something about the way the world is, something about the relationship between God and the disciples has changed. This morning we proclaim that Jesus ushers us into a new world where we are one again with the Father. We are one again with the Father. You see, up until this point, Jesus has frequently referred to God as the Father, or the Father who sent me, or my Father. And he has called his followers disciples, servants, and friends. But now, as he speaks to Mary in the garden, on this first Easter morning, feel the force of verse 17. Go and say to my brothers, I am going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Friends, can you sense it? Can you sense that something has changed here? A new level of relationship has opened. When Jesus uses this phrase, my brothers, it's a gracious phrase. Because remember, each of these disciples defected from him just in the past couple of days. Deserting him in his danger, denying to even know him. Yet the first words that these disciples will hear from their risen Messiah will be, my brothers. My brothers. Stronger in affection than even the term he used Thursday night, friends. The term he used for them around the table when they took their last supper together. The first words they will hear from him, my brothers. And so Jesus' disciples can know themselves now, not just as close companions to Jesus, but as members of his very own family. And John writes earlier in the gospel that God has sent his one and only son, one and only. Jesus' relationship with the Father is unique. He is his one and only son. Yet now, on this first day of new creation, Jesus says, my Father and your Father. My Father and your Father. Because Jesus is risen, we are welcomed into a new world. A world where we can know God the way Jesus knows God. Amen. A world where we can be intimate children of our Father. A world where we are now family, sisters and brothers. And Jesus himself calls us, amen, my sister, my brother. The risen Jesus welcomes us into a new world where we are one again with the Father. My children and I used to play a game. It's a little pretend game that we made up. We call it the Hatch game. And I'm not sure how it developed, but it quickly became a favorite activity between the three of us. And it would work like this. My kids would snuggle underneath warm, soft blankets. And I would sit nearby. Sometimes I'd sit on top of them, actually. But I'd sit close by, and I would monologue something about being a mother bird waiting for her eggs to hatch. And at some point, my little hatchlings would begin to move and wiggle under the table, and they'd make little noises. They'd be like, beep, 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 beep. And I knew that was my cue to exclaim, oh my, it must be time. My little ones are hatching. And they would peek their heads out from under the blanket, and they would pretend to crack their eggs open. And when they came out, I would hug them and kiss them, and I would say their names, and I would say, hooray, hooray, my babies are here, and I'm so happy because I love you. I'm your mother, and I love you. And even though it was only just a game, it was a pretend game, it always seemed to me that this was another opportunity to say to my children, you are today welcomed into a world where you belong to a parent who loves you, who takes great delight in you, and who loves you no matter what, simply because you are my child. And that is the good news that Jesus is proclaiming to Mary and to all of his disciples on this Easter morning. That on this day of new creation, we are born into a world where we are loved, where a father adopts us and calls us his own, and where an older brother affectionately and patiently guides us and leads the way. We are one with the Father again this Easter morning because Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And we are raised with him. My Father and your Father. My God and your God. Friends, the power to know God the way that Jesus knows God is here for you today. The power to relearn who God is, to know God's unending affection for you and his embrace for you, his beloved and chosen child, is here for you today. Amen. The power to be the bearer of that love to others in this world is here for you today. Because Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. To believe in God's love, to believe in his power for new life, this is the risk that Easter asks us to take. Will you take that risk with me today? Will you risk believing that God, through Jesus Christ, is at work and present today in this world so that you would know the Father's love and be the bearer of that love to others?
Amen.
We're going to spend some time, as we all do each Sunday, surrendering to this good news through a simple prayer. And so I invite you in this time to reflect and to offer to the Lord the places in your life that you want to surrender to his resurrecting power and his love. So we'll just use the prayer sentence, "Risen Lord, in the midst of, I entrust myself to your resurrecting power and love." Let's pray.